Quebec to Chateauneuf. We have the good fortune of having Roy, who lives in Australia, and has been an important contributor to this program. Continue with us through the break. And Roy, you were in the midst, and we do have the gentleman that you mentioned earlier. He is now also listening and can join us. That's Kirk. But Roy, you were in the midst of really fleshing out how vulnerable we are as it relates to the assault on cash moving us towards an all-electronic economy and what the consequence of that's going to be. So I would love for you to continue.
Well, I'll just continue from where I left off.
Please.
Possession of and trading with gold will be outlawed as it is the last bastion of economic freedom for the man in the street. Historically, FDR stole the U.S. gold in 1934 by an unconstitutional act. This will occur again. The Australian government already has such laws on the books. These have been temporarily suspended by Paul Keating, but they will be invoked again. The PPT keeps the stock market elevated with counterfeit dollars to the 1%. The whole world is connected through currency, stock markets, derivatives. The whole thing is so massive it's a huge bubble about to burst. Something like $200 trillion, I think, in derivatives alone, which is three times the world's GDP. Media, politicians and academics lie about everything, especially economic. Anyone revealing information elites don't want known are labelled as extremists or criminals, witness Snowden. There have been attempts in Australia to control information through the internet. That's through the Labor Party, which is roughly the equivalent of your liberal politicians, if you like. And the same for the US. Cameras track everyone in large cities. Police can scan your car and identify the driver even before you see them. They can actually sort of do it more or less over the hills now.
They actually do it via cell phones, typically now. We fly jets across the country. In fact, we're moving now into PC-12s, massive purchase of used PC-12s by the U.S. government to fly surveillance missions over the United States to track everyone by their cell phone.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, but that's assuming you've got a cell phone and you've got the battery in it as well.
In terms of adult Americans, that's in the range of 95% or more.
That's right, yep. I'll send you all this information if you like. That's actually written down there with it as well. But what I was referring to is that there's a special camera that someone's devised that can actually scan the driver of a car from many kilometers away.
Yep.
So they can identify you even before you see them.
Yep. Yeah. I got a ticket once that way. Okay. Yeah, 5 miles an hour over the speed limit in Arizona.
This is not news to you.
No.
It wasn't just the car driving fast. They can actually identify you. You can identify the driver, even if you're wearing disguise. I don't know how they claim.
Yeah, I was in a rental car. I got the ticket.
Yeah. For you, as an individual.
Yes. Exactly.
All right, well, drones hover overhead out of sight taking video, or in your case, the planes, and in some cases carrying weapons, police actors, highwaymen, robbing through civil forfeiture, brutalizing and even killing without due cause, drivers they pull over. Virus scans and DNA profiles make it certain nobody passed.
That was the big story that was released over the weekend. 1,000 rounds shot at this couple driving a car who didn't do anything wrong. They didn't have a weapon. They didn't do anything wrong, and they fired 1,000 rounds into them with one cop exonerated for standing on the hood of their car and emptying his revolver into their bodies.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I hate to have to say this, but I have no intention of ever going to the U.S. of A.
No, I don't blame you.
I would never go there. I just travel between Australia and New Zealand now. I'm practically nowhere else.
Can you sponsor me?
That's Kirk. Kirk saying, can you sponsor me? You know, one of my very favorite people who participates actively in the chat room for the Yada Yada show and has written me so many times is a fellow whose name is Dode, is David, and his sons from New Zealand and Australia. I so want to be able to leave here and go there. And I've been to Australia and New Zealand many times, but I want to return. But the thing that precludes me from being able to do so is twofold. One is the United States will confiscate half of what I've earned. When I leave, And second, it's very difficult to get my sons to go with me. But if I, you know, if the family would move, I'd move in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, I think New Zealand is probably one of the safest places to be now. I'm not sure about Australia. We've got very nasty Muslims.
Yeah, your jihad problem in Australia is as big as ours is in America, if not bigger. And I think the Australian government is about as corrupt as the United States government. It's just that Australia, being smaller, isn't belligerent around the world, isn't pretending to do good while doing harm.
Yeah, no, we've got militarized police and everything as well. I quite agree. Well, Kurt,
yes.
I love your Austro-Texan accent.
I've lost most of my Australian words, but you know, I grew up in Sydney, so I can understand you quite well, though. I still can understand the language.
Did you have a passport, an Australian passport?
Well, we moved over when I was in the sixth grade, and I grew up there, and I never had intention to come back. I was going to be an Aussie, but the Vietnam War came along, and I got drafted when I was 18, so they brought me back. So I'd show up or go to jail. So that was pretty simple. So I moved back to my grandparents, yeah.
Well, I'll sponsor you then.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, both of us.
Can I bring my paintbrushes, and I can call in from here. You have to get up early.
We'll have to change the time of the show to correspond to daylight hours in Australia. Your conclusions, Roy, are that because there is the utmost, total and complete control over electronic currency, that it's just a matter of time before corrupt government imposes such moves that if you are unwilling to acquiesce to their every demand, that you will not be able to buy and sell. You will not, unless you agree to whatever their stipulations are, you will not be able to buy food. Your car will be, your car's owned electronically. Your deed to your home is recorded electronically. You'll lose it all. Your bank account is electronic, and your means of conducting purchases and is electronic. You're going to lose it all.
Exactly.
Isn't that your conclusion?
Yes, I've had many a discussion about this. I mean, everyone has to be somewhere on the face of the earth unless you've got some kind of an ocean-going yacht, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're going to have to be in somewhere that's rented or somewhere that's owned.
Mm-hmm.
If it's rented, you can be tossed out at a moment's notice. If it's owned, I don't know what kind of title you have over there in the U.S., but here we have what's called the Torrens title, which is basically there's two clauses to it. One says that you own it and you up, and the second clause says that save all the rights reserved unto the Crown. Crown, of course, being the Governor General representing the Queen of England here.
And yeah, we have something called eminent domain, which means for the common good, the government can seize whatever you have.
Yeah, same sort of thing. So, in other words, they can take your land without let or hindrance at any time when they feel like it. So,
correct.
Even if you keep your head down,
right,
you're not seen to be put it this way. If you're I think they call them stackers, you know, one of these people who put away lots and lots of food and stuff like that to survive.
Yes.
Even if you manage to stack away a lot of stuff for many years, they will still want to know who you are,
mm-hmm,
and how you're managing to live, because you're not actually going out, you're not buying anything. So someone will turn up on your door and say, tell me, what are you doing? How are you surviving?
Yeah, the doomsdayers, the doomsday preppers here in our parlance. But even then, they have cell phones. They want to communicate on the Internet. They do have cash, which will be useless. You still have to buy seeds. No one is totally self-sufficient. And you know, what is it going to get you? Let's say that you do have enough food to survive for three more years off the grid. Don't you think that starving people are going to find you?
Of course they will. Absolutely. This is the point I make. You're going to have to be heavily armed. And
mm-hmm,
over here, that's almost totally illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, at least it's got some remnant of the Second Amendment left.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, if you're found in the possession of a gun that's not registered, you're in all kinds of hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you won't be able to survive and, roll on the para lambano because we've only got 11 years to go, or maybe a bit longer, at least 11 anyway. I really can't believe that things aren't going to come unstuck in that 11 years. I mean, surely Israel's going to get attacked again somewhere in that time. Surely the economy cannot last another 11 years the way it's going. There's so much indebtedness and corruption around that it's got to collapse.
You've mentioned Isaiah 18, and it's Yahweh's diatribe against America. So I would not be stretching to say that you are aware of Yashayah Isaiah 17 and Yahweh telling us exactly what's going to happen that's going to put us on the doorstep of the tribulation, which is the war in Iraq and Syria leading to the downfall of the Syrian government, the divestiture of the West Bank from Israel being compelled upon the country, and then World War III with Muslims flooding in Israel in mass. So you know the chain of events that's leading to this and the role the United States is playing in it.
Yes, that's true. The Gog Magog war is supposed to occur around about 2026. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's the war inundates Israel in the fall of 2026, early 2027. But from Yahweh's testimony in Yashayah 17, the beginnings of that war are undergoing right now. That's the Islamic State in Iraq and in Syria, and they're going to move into Lebanon, and it's going to cause the fall of the Syrian government eventually, and eventually it's going to expose the United States as the death broker, and it's going to lead to Israel giving up the West Bank.
Yes, yes.
And then the Magog War occurs right after Israel gives up the West Bank, which will be in the fall of 2026, and it leads to the Magog War. That is correct. As it's being presented, what's happening in Syria today with the Islamic State and in Iraq today with the Islamic State is not a separate event. I think what I'm doing here is agreeing with you that the events that lead up to the tribulation, we're witnessing before our very eyes. This assault on money, on currency, on what people have that is being taken from them, is the precursor to what we read in Revelation. Roy, would I be correct in stating that the troublesome events economically that are stated as it relates to the mark of the beast, with the beast being the outgrowth of the Roman Empire, and the mark being the prod of ownership, of control of satanic forces, and of it the numbers of that all applying to Paul and Christianity and Muhammad and Allah, that all of the things that are described that you went through in terms of where we are today related to economics and control of our economics, and that we're not going to find ourselves, I think what you were saying is we're not going to find ourselves one day with the mark of the beast and being completely controlled economically from a position of having been totally free and safe economically. That degradation is taking place every day, and we're in the midst of it.
Well, what happened there would probably be a revolution if that happened overnight. Well, what will happen is the boiling frog technique, just a little bit taken off you each day, so that you're not even aware of it until it's too late. And by then, people have lost hope anyway, so and they don't respond. So yes, it's going to be done over a long period of time. Probably over, say the next 4 to 5 years. And I think after that, you're really looking at a time where we're going to be living in totalitarian fascist regimes right across the world.
Yeah, I think it's already a fait accompli. I don't think there's any sets of circumstances where nations and their citizens can avoid this.
Yes, it's correct.
We've gone way beyond the tipping point. And there, is almost no energy pushing back. Even the beyond the fact that we've beyond the tipping point, there's been almost unnoticeable energy pushing back at this. That gets right back to the argument that I had this morning. You ought to care about this. You ought to be outspoken against it. You ought to be pushing back. Even though you realize that you can't change it, you still ought to be angry. You still ought to be pushing back.
I know, but the trouble is, you see, from my point of view at any rate, it's a sad thing. I'm totally alone here. I don't have anybody who's willing to listen. That's not strictly true, actually. There was one person who was a patient apparently took on board what I was saying, but then she went to the wrong people and got redirected away from it. So I didn't succeed even there. But my wife is at the best tolerant. I think she's actually quite anti what I'm doing. She's also, I think, she doesn't actually say so, an anti-Semite, which makes it even more difficult. My son and two daughters don't want to know. In fact, they almost get quite angry when I mention it, and that's not very often now. So from
and this is, afraid, but it's what we were told to expect.
Oh, yes. Yes, Yahusha himself said so. He came to bring the vision.
Right. And can I mean, my situation, by the way, is not a lot different. Kirk's is significantly different as it relates to his wife. While I would prefer to be in Kirk's position, there is an advantage for both of us, Roy. And that advantage is that for companionship, for stimulation, for stimulating discussions and for this ability to contribute mutually towards understanding, you and I are restricted to the ultimate conversationalist. We are more dependent upon getting our mental stimulation and enjoyment from him than is someone who can, over a cup of coffee, say, "What do you think about that? What do you, what, you know, let's discuss that."
Trapping thing in Kirk's position is that the people who agree with you may be in a position to nudge you away from the truth, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a tendency for you to sort of say, "Well, yeah, well, what you're saying there might be true," and compromise mm-hmm. a little bit here and compromise a little bit there.
Right. Right.
When you're by yourself, there's only one. You've got the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and your own mind to work with, and that's it.
Well, let me give you an example to underscore what you just said. Most people listening to the program know that I did a lot of the initial books and began to study and did these programs with a good friend of mine. And we came to a major disagreement over the veracity of the Christian New Testament, and particularly Paul.
I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And since that time, I have been much more open to the truth. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, we are in the midst, Roy, therefore, of the very degradation of this birth pangs, if you will, to specifically what Yahusha warned us about.
Well, look at all the earthquakes that have been going on. They've been increasing in numbers. If you just Google that, you can see that. It's been recorded many, many places.
Look at the number of terrorist attacks. An increase in terrorism is one of those events.
Yep.
In fact, if I could also add to one of them to your list of what it takes to be part of the covenant, there was a period of time where what you said and where you were born and to whom you were born was almost an absolute guarantee that you could not become part of the covenant. For example, if you were born in Iran 50 years ago, there is no way you would ever come to know the truth. It's not true necessarily today. You know, the highest readership per capita of Prophet of Doom is in Iran. And from Prophet of Doom, you know what they have access to read? Yada Yah, Intro to God.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so today,
get it on the net.
Yes, and what then is, what did Yahusha say? He says that the beneficial message and healing messenger, euangelion, he used Hebrew, will be conveyed to the whole world.
That's
for the first time ever it is.
Yep.
You know, Christians think it's because of all the printing of their Bibles, but it's not. It's because the truth that he revealed in Hebrew is being conveyed to people via the Internet. And you know what percentage of the world population has a smartphone? Or how many, let's just say, how many smartphones that are connected to the Internet and therefore can read this do you think there are?
Around the world, probably around about a third to a half.
Nope.
I don't really know.
7 billion. I looked it up.
7 billion?
There's 7 billion active smartphones that are connected to the Internet. 7 billion of them.
So one for each person in the world, more or less.
That is correct. And, you know, when I was at Best Buy upgrading my wife's smartphone the other day, she got a S6, which is one newer version of the S5 that I have. And while I was playing with it, I was out there and just in the lobby, and I had a chance to play with it. You tap on it, and I tapped, and it says, you know, tap whatever you like, just whatever you're interested in. You know, the phone will go, whether you talk to it or say, so I spoke Yada to it. You know what it took me to? Directly to Yada Ya.
Okay.
And Yada Ya, with the site, thanks to what Yoel has done on our behalf, was right there to be read by anyone that just says, I want to know Yada. Pretty cool, huh?
Okay. Yep. Very cool. Yep. Indeed.
Is it your conclusion, Roy, that based upon your analysis of what's happening electronically in terms of surveillance and control, both monetarily and a person's whereabouts, that it would be absolutely impossible? There is nothing that you could do to avoid the calamity that is going to come apart from being a member of the covenant.
That's right. For the simple reason that it's going to be for 7 years. If it was for 1 year or 6 months, you could, maybe. But for 7 years, no way. Not going to happen.
Yeah, but you know, in my view, I don't think it is 7 years. If I may challenge you on this, I think you're actually going to end up agreeing with me. I think it is for 18 years. I think this next 11-year lead-up to it is going to become increasingly difficult, to the point where the last 7 years is just the crescendo of these hellacious times, and that you really have to be prepared to live for 18 years, and it's not physically possible. There's nothing you can do to safeguard your well-being and your family's well-being.
Yep, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's, as I said, the boiling frog technique. It's sort of bit by bit, and it's cutting it off salami slice at a time.
May I suggest that the reason for that is more than just ignorance? I think you spoke of the population of America as and the world, really, that is allowing these things to happen is a function of ignorance. I think there's a bigger issue. I think it's apathy. I don't think people care. You know, when you said they go along to get along, I just think that they've been conditioned to not care, and they've been conditioned to know that if you do care and you speak out against these things, you're going to get a stern reprimand. You're going to be isolated. There's a painful consequence of not going along.
Yep, that's right. Well, I suppose that was implied in that anyway.
Yes.
I was trying to make it as concise as I possibly could because it was very long anyway.
Yes.
Okay, what's your
story? It's our sense of not caring about this. We don't even want to know the truth. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth. That military guy that was talking about the great sacrifice of lives in Vietnam, that they made the ultimate sacrifice so we could be free, that they don't want to know that that's an outright lie and that there's an enormous consequence of that lie. They don't even want to know.
Well, it's a lot easier just to sit and watch, you know, the Voice or whatever you have over there that's equivalent to football or cricket or or entertainment, you know, the latest whiz-bang thing from Hollywood, but they're almost always the same now, you know, all CGI things, but totally uninteresting. But a lot of people seem to be just immersed in that, and if you try to pull them out of it, they just get angry at you. That is
or their video games, where the role-playing games were, you know, it's about drones and first-person shooters and killing and getting lost in it.
Well, that's what I meant by the corruption of the, if you like, of the population generally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this has not happened overnight. This
No.
has been going on certainly in this country, and I presume others as well. I think Britain and the US are pretty much the same. But the loss of, I'm 66, and I have quite fond memories of when I was young. The world was much seemed, at least, to be much more stable in those days because that was just immediately post-war. So, you know,
more opportunity, certainly. Less controls.
But you also, you know, you can get onto a bus and you can get mm-hmm. home by yourself without risk of being mugged.
Right.
You could, when you went out with a girl, if you tried anything that goes on nowadays, you'd get a slap across the face very fast.
How about this? You could drive a car and you were never afraid of the police killing you.
That's right. Well, yes. I can think of an exception to that, but yes, basically that is correct. But the kind of world that I lived in back in those days was completely different from how it is now. There's been a complete breakdown of what used to be called the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Correct.
The morality.
Deliberately and purposefully.
And deliberately and purposefully done, and that was done through socialist secular humanism, which was
correct.
The disease that brought it on.
And where is that disease? Where are the cathedrals for that that religion?
School. In academe.
That is correct.
Of course, and of course, out of academe comes the journalists who have been...
correct.
You know, that's sounding like little boxes.
They yes. They're the high priest of it.
That's right. Yep.
So, what we have had in Australia, in New Zealand, throughout Europe, in the United States, Canada, South America, we've had now two or three generations so confused by, so indoctrinated by the religion of socialist secular humanism and political correctness, most people now are incapable of exercising good judgment.
Yeah. Again, one of the reasons that people got into socialist secular humanism in the first place, and I can again remember this from my own university days, is that Christianity was so full of stupid statements and holes, and the translations that are found in the so-called Old Testament are so stupid or vicious and brutal that you wouldn't mm-hmm. want to be involved with that. So the next
correct.
Thing is, I think there's a tendency to be people to be searching for something. I think there's something in most people that says that, you know, we're not complete. We need something more, and that leads them then to the religion of socialist secular humanism, which is
mm-hmm.
provides a comfort blanket for them.
Right. The community of man, the global village, we're all on the spaceship Earth. Yes. The environment is our mother.
You know, wrap your arms around everyone else and sing Kumbaya and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Enlightened men are to be praised, their statements honored. And
That sort of thing has been coming up progressively. I can see it in the politics of the past in Australia here. We're now getting to the point where I think we've gone past the point of no return, actually. We're
mm-hmm.
now no longer possible to have even a semblance of a conservative government in this country. The population
no.
simply will not tolerate it. They will want handouts.
Correct.
They will want the
right.
government to pamper them, to provide them with
correct.
Houses, to provide them with everything that they think
yeah.
that they need.
Yeah. Austerity now is diminishing or not increasing the amount of entitlements and handouts that are unearned, undeserved.
That's right. Yeah, it's gone past that. Look, I've emailed that thing that I've read out to you tonight, so you probably should be able to get it by now. If you don't mind, I better run off because it's...
Okay. And Roy, I just, you can listen to this on the archives because I want to compliment you on something, which is that, and thank you, Roy, this ability to tie things together. Well, everything that Roy said about economics was essential for us. While that journey into what we're going to be doing both in our imaginations and in the real world in eternity in this, and what traits everyone who has come to know Yahweh have in common, what things everyone who has come to know Yahweh and become part of his covenant have in common, we're all brilliant. The last comment, this last realization that socialist secular humanism, political correctness, grew out of the lies that are part of Christianity. That reasoned people knew that Christianity was, as a religion, was just a pile of lies. And that that was what they were pushing against. And that they came up with an alternative religion that has the same effect as Christianity. Religions render people incapable of exercising good judgment. The stated purpose of political correctness is to do that.
Satanic religion.
Yes.
Sorry, what I should have said, put that in as a third satanic religion. Yep.
Yes. I agree. In fact, when you were talking about this amalgamation of Christianity and Islam, of Paul and Muhammad, of Allah and of the Christian Lord, I think that's an amalgamation of three religions. And I think socialist secular humanism is an equal player in this. The elevation of man to God, of the environment into our mother. And so my sense is you're in support of that, that it's really all three.
Yes, and that brings out things like the AGW scare, or scam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The anthropogenic global warming.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. It's in fact, that has been central to it since its inception.
Yeah.
And, we've done whole shows on that. And, we know that global warming has been, and global cooling has been part of the Earth cycle for millions upon millions of years. And yet, if we can be convinced that mankind needs to be controlled, that money needs to go from those who have it to those who want it for the purpose of control as part of that whole man-made global warming theory, then it's the ultimate tool. At this point, Roy, there are two tools that are empowering the globalization and control of the world. One is the war on terrorism, and the other one is the man-made global warming myth.
Yep, and they're not going to be permitted to die, no matter how eminent the person who speaks against it or what sort of facts are provided. The fact that we've had 17 years now of no real change in the Earth's temperature despite an increase in the carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere would have, in a true scientific way, have destroyed that the hypothesis.
It Correct.
It could have gone. But now it's still coming up. And in this country, there's a fellow called Shorten. He's the what's called the opposition leader. And he aims to be the prime minister of this country one day. He is promising to reintroduce a carbon dioxide tax that the current Liberal, that is the Conservative government, has managed to remove.
Yeah, cap and trade is the mantra of not only Obama, but also of the governor of California, the nation's largest state. Where the state will sell your the amount of carbon that you can produce and runs the marketplace where you buy and sell carbon emission licenses.
That's exactly what they want here. And I mean, the amazing thing to me is that the people of this country are going to vote for him if you believe the
poll. Right. Because we're indoctrinated with it in political correctness. It dominates the media, and if you speak out against it, you're labeled a kook, even though you quote research that proves that the concept of global warming is a complete myth. In fact, if anything, we ought to be concerned about the fact that we are in a trend now for 17 years where we have gone against the history of our Earth and that we're not warming, which means there has to be a cooling effect associated this time with humankind.
Yeah, we need more CO2, not less.
Correct. Yeah, we're enduring a when Everything says that from 1875 for 1600 years thereafter, 600 years thereafter, that we will be in a warming trend, which, is, by the way, is beneficial for humankind. And we reach 17 years in a row where we have no increase in temperature. You've got a problem. Something has happened that is different than before. We ought to be concerned about it. But instead, now they just changed the verbiage to climate change. But even within climate change, the moment they start talking about climate change, they go right back to carbon dioxide and global warming.
Yeah, that because the powers that be are not going to allow it to die.
No.
Part of the control mechanism.
No, if you look at both sides of the aisles now in Washington, D.C., there's the announcement that we're losing the war against the Islamic State, and that America will have to, because the Iraqis do not have the will to fight, that America is going to have to re-engage and declare a war where we put troops on the ground against the Islamic State. And it's being presented in the media now and in government as the thing we need to do to protect America, that it's in America's interest to go to war again.
Dear. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well.
You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, the war on terrorism has been broadened, just like global warming was broadened to climate change. The war on terrorism now is now the war against violent extremism.
Yeah, sure. Sorry for laughing. It's just
It's like saying the Islamic State, but they won't even, in the media, they won't ever refer to the Islamic State. It's always ISIL or ISIS. They won't even say Islamic State, but it's like saying the Islamic State's not Islamic.
Mm-hmm. You want a good Catholic joke to finish up with?
Sure, please.
The Mother Superior said, to the nuns, there's a case of gonorrhea in the convent, to which one of the elder nuns shouted out, "Thank God, I'm getting so sick of Chardonnay." No, get it. Hey.
All right. Well, thank you, Roy. You are a real blessing. You're a blessing to the mind. I'm glad we're going to be enjoying your personality and approach in eternity.
But Roy, thank you. We'll enjoy one another.
Yes, indeed.
Take care, buddy.
I better go.
Bye. Kirk, we only have a few minutes left, but that was worth it.
Oh, absolutely. I was enjoying that. I enjoy Roy tremendously.
Yeah, my mind is always expanded. The two things that I get from Roy are the two things I get when I read Yah's testimony. And I'm not comparing Roy here to Yahweh, but he's a member of Yahweh's family. So, you know, there are comparisons that can be made. Is that I'm always making connections that I had not seen before. And once they're made, it immediately reinforces something that I've come to know. Like how political correctness grew. I knew Adam Weishaupt created it as a replacement religion to Christianity because he was at war with the Roman Catholic Church and the implications politically in terms of governance of cleric and king. But I'd never really thought about the fact that socialist secular humanism came to rise because of the stupidity of the religion of Christianity.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they were at war with them in the sense that they I think they were competing with them. They said, this is a gig, and I can get a better gig. I mean, all he did was deify the state.
Correct.
He just made the state becomes God, and therefore whatever it decrees.
Right.
You know, on the same plane, it has to be accepted on the same plane that you would as a religion. So.
And then the leaders of the state, the enlightened individuals, become indistinguishable from the state.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, they worshipped Hitler. They worshipped whomever.
Look at Karl Marx and they worship them. There's no question about it. Look what we did in our country with the founding fathers. We worshiped them.
Well, they did it with Roosevelt.
We have shrines and temples to them. Yeah, Buddha had a socialist secular agenda, and they create statues and worship them. It is pervasive in that regard. The other thing I find from Roy is that he has come to the same conclusions almost uniformly that I have. And even when he says, you know, I'd beg to differ on such and such, the difference is really...
not a big differ.
Well, it's mostly, and maybe I didn't state what I was trying to say as clearly as I should have, and that his difference is really a clarification of what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I find it comforting when a thoughtful individual who is resolutely logical and who thoroughly enjoys learning comes to the same conclusions after a systematic evaluation of the evidence and can articulate the reasons why, and I find them to be identical with the process that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just find that affirming.
Well, when I grew up in Australia, we used to look at America, and I looked at it through Australian eyes because I was there so young, and mm-hmm. and I'd read the papers, and I thought y'all were nuts. I mean, the Vietnam War was totally nuts. I'd read the Sydney Morning Herald every morning, and I thought, what are y'all doing? There's nothing.
What are you doing? There's nothing there. You have no reason to be there.
Yeah, there's no reason. No, I mean, what are you afraid of? So.
Yeah, and you have no hope of making it better.
No, and now you drag us into it, and then they started dragging all the Australian kids, too, and
right.
20 years old.
Right.
We literally thought y'all were nuts, and I thought y'all were nuts, and as an American.
And we were. And we were. And now for, you know, to go back and look at that era and talk about those who lost their lives there as making the ultimate sacrifice for those of us who enjoy freedom today, it's...
just total BS.
It's just total BS.
Well, you know, I was amazed that I was so disappointed, rather, in Australia has just turned into a little bitty us, America.
Yes, I know. About 10 years behind and not nearly as belligerent or as deadly or as focused on invading other countries and killing people as America is, not as involved in the destruction of currency as we are, but politically.
An opportunity.
Yeah, very similar.